This is CliffCentral.com.
And then there were two.
Where are the rest of us?
It feels kind of empty.
I go away for a few days and you're all gone.
Leanne, this is what happens when you aren't here. I just have to throw it out there. Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. My name is Sia Sangweni here with Leanne Mole, who just came back.
Yes.
Which felt like you were gone forever.
No, just 6 days, I think, or seven, six and a half, in the blissful hazy view, just outside the Kruger National Park in Mpumalanga.
Oh, Mpumalanga. I want to get into that in just a bit. But yes, as Gareth did mention yesterday on the show, he's away this morning. He's in Cape Town for some work. And then Ben is in Durban as well. There is a half Ironman.
Is he doing it?
No, he's there also on work. It's taking place on Sunday, but I think they're getting ready for it on Sunday. One of the people who will also actually be taking part is Anthea.
Jeez, that woman, hey?
You know, as if Anthea doesn't work hard for her money with everything that she does. But, you know, she's like a mini, not even a mini, a major exercise fitness person. So that's what she'll be doing on Sunday as well. So we'll have Henry standing in for her on Monday morning.
It seems like it's a bit of a corporate thing, though, to get involved in sport. It always has been. It was golf in the beginning. It still is. And then it went more to sort of cycling and putting together your corporate cycling teams to take part in races.
And like just the cool new fad.
Yeah. And it seems to be escalating. And now it's Iron Woman and Iron Man and triathlons.
I've been trying to read up on what goes into something like this.
Yeah.
But it's called the Ultimate African Ironman 70.3 Race. And you're just doing a bunch of things. There are only 100 qualifying slots. Yikes. Kudos to whoever is doing this, because this looks like a lot of work. And I wonder how much training has to go into something like this as well. But if you are doing it, let us know how you're feeling about it. What, you know, how did you train? Who are you doing it with? Are you just doing it alone? I'm interested to hear about it. But otherwise, Ben will also be Skyping in on Monday to give us an update as well on how it went. Yeah.
Sure. Very cool.
So, yes, Leanne, tell us more about your six-day paradise.
Well, it's an annual thing. It's a timeshare thing, Sabi River Sun. Mm-hmm. So on the Sabi River, lots of crocodiles and hippos, but they do tend to keep to themselves, luckily. It's on a golf course, so it's a case of sitting on your veranda at your chalet and just having the most beautiful view. You know, my friends and family who I went with are mainly golfers. I'm not.
Oh.
So that gave me some alone time, which was nice.
And you know, when people go out for golfing, it's not like a 1 hour affair.
No, it's like
they're gone for
Six hours. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So it was, I'd meet them for lunch, you know, on their halfway. And then just go back to lying on my back and doing pretty much nothing.
How did that happen, that almost everyone around you is a golfer, but you aren't?
Well, I wouldn't. There are two of them that are, you know, every day, or three times a week golfers.
Mm-hmm.
Two others were hackers. But I put it down to the size of my boobs. I've tried before. Seriously. It's a thing.
I'm not laughing. I'm taking you very seriously.
It's
right
a thing.
Now.
I've been for lessons. I've been driving. But yeah, I mean, have you ever seen a female golfer with really big boobs? They're generally very fit and flat chested. Maybe a little sinewy.
So actually, what is the sport for you with big boobs?
It's just difficult to get a swing.
Yes. Leanne, you don't have to show me.
I just did a demonstration. Yes. You kind of can't follow through with that swing. But besides that, I don't find it that interesting.
Mm.
You know, and they were all encouraging me to grab a golf cart and go around with them. But I think I would have been more productive doing something else, like relaxing.
Did you even like open your laptop and work remotely?
Yeah.
You did do that.
Yeah, no, I did. But it feels, you know, with a view of a golf course and nature, it feels a whole lot different.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a different view.
Now, I don't know about you, though, but I need about 3 days uninterrupted, or 3.5 days, before I'm now like, okay, I need to be productive again. I need to do something. I can't just sit here again.
Yeah. No, we did pretty much nothing for the first 2 days, which was great.
And they're glorious. They're absolutely glorious. But then it reaches a point where you go, actually, it would be nice to do something.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but that's like, always the case for me.
It, you know, conversation is always very, everyone wants to try and talk about something, or they've got a lot on their minds, and then it starts fizzling out a bit, which is such a nice feeling. Everyone starts relaxing. But yeah, no, it was really great. And just being in that part of the world, it's, firstly, it's 5 degrees warmer than Joburg. Yeah. So I feel like I've come back to a bit of a fridge.
And it is.
Yeah. And I think what was also quite nice is going to, I mean, there's so many places to go to around there. You've got Graskop. If you want to travel a bit further, Sabi, you've got Pilgrim's Rest, etc. And in Graskop, they have built an amazing construction over the gorge. And when I say gorge, it's like terrifyingly, this must be a movie deep. So they've built this lift that you can go in, which I didn't even want to go in the lift. None of us did.
Oh.
It's that scary. So we just stood on the platform, and this is where they do bridge swing or gorge swings and bungee jumping.
Oh, no.
And just standing on the platform, we were holding on and with white knuckles onto the railing. Really scary, but amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did you go with in total?
So we always have two chalets, and in the one were my mom and my dad, her carer and my aunt, and then in ours it was my brother and I and 3 friends of ours.
Oh, that's a good combo.
Yeah, it's a good group.
Because you can do a wide variety of things, because sometimes, you know, I have a friend right now who's on holiday with his mother, and he was texting me saying, on paper, it's great. It's so sweet to say you're going with your mother, and you know, we're going to bond and spend time together. But it also reaches this point where now he wants to go to the bar, or, you know, just go and randomly explore. And then his mother's just saying, no, I just want to sit down. Let's sit and chat. And he's like, no, I'm done with chatting now. Something else.
If you go with a big group, then you all just do your own thing.
Yeah.
And it's just accepted that way. If you want to go to the bar, you go to the bar. If you want to lie at the pool, you do. If you feel like taking a drive, you do. If you want to play golf, if you want to cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's in anyone's hair, which is nice.
Right. Well, you're back now.
Yes.
You were missed. Can you tell by the rousing response in this room?
Thank you, everybody.
I'm joking. Did you pay attention to some news while you were away?
I tried not to, but you know, we're so hooked up, and I have news alerts that come in on my phone. But the thing is, it was nice to chat about that stuff amongst each other anyway. Mm. But yeah, as I came home in the car, I started reading about all of the Trump stuff and the crazy man who set himself alight in the garden.
Excuse me?
Yeah. No, I think we'll get...
I missed that news story then?
Is this new to you?
Someone who set themselves alight in whose garden?
In the White House gardens.
Oh, guys, how does this happen?
So a 33-year-old man burnt himself to death outside the White House. He was apparently, it's now been revealed, was hallucinating on synthetic marijuana laced with angel dust.
No.
There's a video, I mean, it's just absolutely shocking. But he simply walked across the lawn outside the White House.
Oh.
After setting himself on fire and was obviously incredibly hallucinogenic.
I think you're on some hallucinogenics right now.
But his name was Arnav Gupta. He had taken the drug K2, which had been laced with PCP or angel dust. Emergency services reacted very quickly to the incident after he was seen on fire and tried to douse him out. However, he did die.
When did this happen?
This happened a day ago.
I feel like I totally missed this. If I'm the only one who missed this, please let me know. 0797482090. I think I'm surprised to see that didn't really hit social media much. Maybe I just actively missed it. But also, by the way, we are seeing your messages on 0797482090. We were having some issues with our app, with streaming this morning, but it seems to be back up and running. Please let me know. Yeah, please let us know if you are experiencing any issues. But our team is on it, and you shouldn't be having any issues just yet. But wow.
Yeah. What? So he was rushed to hospital with reportedly 85% burns to his body. First aid was administered. However, he did die in hospital. He was reported missing by his family yesterday, about the time that he was seen setting himself on fire. So he was a few meters from the White House in on the lawns at Ellipse Park. Mm-mm. His motive remains unclear, but police sources say that he was obviously hallucinating. So that could have been it. Maybe he had intentions before he was hallucinating. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he was basically like a human torch walking across President's Park. With disturbing pictures going around, really not nice at all.
See, now, this is, let me try to explain this, because a lot of the times it's now like a bit of a joke, and you guys do take the piss out of me with things that scare me a bit or drive me a bit crazy, but an incident like this would absolutely, if I were one of the powers that be in the White House, Trump or Melania, or, you know, I would absolutely fire someone over this, because I just think of the humanity in all of this situation. Mm. And if you are Melania and you are raising your child, you just want your child to always be safe and be happy, be nurtured, regardless. Any parent, any mother can relate to something like that. And here a person came super close to the White House. They weren't right on the doorstep, but you know, they were on the gardens, and I don't think that those are the gardens of the White House, but very close.
I think he may have been in a public area just before.
Yeah, yeah, very close, park, yeah, to the White House. And I'll also explain a little more why that would still matter to me. Mm. And somehow that happened. Well, I mean, what is the entire team that we have covered to secure us meant to do? What were you guys doing? And this happened. And the reason why, you know, in the White House case, to me, it matters, is because in former First Lady Michelle Obama's book, Becoming, she writes about a lot of things that took place while she was, you know, growing up, and then her years in college and starting out her career, and then eventually marrying President Barack Obama and landing up in the White House. But in one of the stories that she talks about is a person who was streets away from the White House.
Yeah.
But it's one of these straight streets that has a very open angle to the White House. So this person was a while, really, really far back, and shot at the White House and aimed towards the private quarters of the first family. And the bullet actually landed in one of the windows. Now, because, of course, there's tons of security and it was thick glass, the bullet got stuck in the window pane itself. But that was a thing. And that just shows how you can never really bank on what your security will be like and what your normal day will be like.
No,
and
unless, that happened. Unless you're wrapped in a bulletproof bubble, there's no guarantee.
And, you know, former First Lady Michelle carried on writing about how for weeks on end she had to look at this bullet mark because, you know, of course it's thick glass, and I'm sure there's all of these security procedures and protocols. You don't just get it fixed in an hour. So for weeks she had to look at this, and she writes that that was a constant reminder that in a world where she's trying to do good and change and make things happen for the better,
and to try and be as normal as possible when it comes to bringing up her children,
with all of that in mind, there was still someone who, and there's still some people who wanted them dead. Now that is where I instantly gravitate towards. And whether you agree with Trump's policies or not, come on, you cannot be advocating for someone to not feel safe or for someone to not feel happy. And then someone kills themselves.
In horrific scenes.
By putting themselves on fire. Oh, hell no, someone would be fired.
Well, someone was fired.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to laugh.
I'm sorry. Making good see a laugh at
really,
bad things.
I really don't want to laugh. It is bad. Shucks. Well, yeah, talk about coming back to news like that. Well, it is. It has been a very big news heavy week, and we'll get into that a little after seven. Some news stories and some clips for you. And we'll just get into the five things that you need to know in just a bit. But looking at some of your messages, yeah, someone does say that app is still not working listening through the website. Well, thank you for listening nonetheless. But yeah, our team is on top of it. And someone else says, hey, Sia, the app is still giving me shit, man. Had to get another app called Simple Radio. Well, really, I appreciate the fact that people are making the effort.
Hats off for finding alternative means. Thank you.
It's very shitty that our app isn't working, though, and we will get on top of that as soon as possible. And then the message also concludes with, hi, ass.
Ooh, hi there.
There we go. That's nice enough. So I was actually... I was saying to Gareth a couple of days ago this week that I've found my sweet spot when it comes to sleep.
Oh, is it in terms of the hours that you sleep or the time you go to bed?
Yes. So it's the hours and the time put together. And I've discovered that my sweet spot is about 10 to 10.
Okay. Well, that's quite precise.
That window period between like 10 to 10. And
oh, I thought you meant 10 minutes to 10. Oh, you do?
9:50 p.m., Leanne.
That's very specific. Is that what time you have to actually fall asleep?
I don't know why it's that specific, but I just discovered this a couple of days or weeks ago. And it's, I don't want to jinx it. I've been keeping to it religiously.
Oh, you're making me yawn.
Just the thought of it. Just the thought of good sleep makes you yawn. So it's between that and about 10:15. I've been doing that for the past couple of days. I've been waking up right on time when my alarm first goes off at about 4:30, and I feel really, really on top of things. And
so, how many hours does it give you of sleep? Let's say 10 to
like 6 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
They say 6 to 8 hours, mm-hmm. right?
I don't know. Well, that just works for me. And
10 hours works for me, Sia. So you're very lucky.
Sleep never. Can you ever have enough sleep in your case? No.
No.
And I ruined it last night.
Oh, dear. You broke the chain.
I don't know why. I got home. I was so tired. And I lied to myself saying, oh, yeah, let me just sit in bed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll just, you know, I'll work a bit and I'll be on my phone. And since it is kind of chilly now, let me just get under the covers.
Uh-oh.
That will be fine. So I went to sleep probably at about like 6 and slept all the way through. I woke up at about 2 a.m. Now I'm like, actually, screw it. No, let me go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Woke up now at something to 5 and I feel like I'm off Hilton now.
Well, that was 10 hours of sleep.
Well, it's just screwed me over because I now feel like I need to sleep some more.
Yeah, that is the thing, though. You know, once you get over the certain amount of hours, you get into that mode where it feels like your head is being sucked in by the pillow and that you're never going to get up ever again.
I've never heard more of a precise analogy, but that's so true.
Like magnets are behind your head into your pillow.
What's your sweet spot of sleep?
I'd say 8 to 9 hours is good for me.
Okay. So on average, what time do you sleep?
I don't. Because I only do the show 3 times a week, my times are erratic. Oof. But I try to get 8 to 9 hours.
Your body must not love you for doing that.
No.
Yeah. And then, it just screws you properly over. Oh, shit.
But I won't lie. I mean, I do enjoy the times where I can just lie in bed until 9. That's great.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I'm sitting working and doing things, but it's just under the covers and nice.
Makes it so much better. Anyway, okay, let's not talk about sleep. Let's rather be...
Not when you should be getting up.
Let's get up. Let's make things happen. And before that, let's get into the 5 things that you need to know this morning. It is a Friday, no politics Friday. That's what we
yes.
stand by. But just to get a bit of political news.
There's always a bat on No Politics Friday.
Well, because this we discussed this yesterday on the Burning Platform. If you didn't listen live, you can always catch up on the podcast. We had Ivor Fechter on the line as he was giving his take on the new cabinet. And one of the names that was thrown out as someone who was MIA is Jeff Radebe. Now, Jeff Radebe has been around in the political scene for the longest of time, and this is the first time in South Africa's democracy that he actually isn't in the new cabinet. And so with that said, the first story that you need to know this morning is he actually released a statement around this. So while ministers and deputy ministers in parliament, in President Ramaphosa's cabinet, were taking their oaths of office, former energy minister Jeff Radebe thanked South Africans for allowing him to serve the nation and said he would continue to work towards the betterment of the African continent. So yeah, he released a statement yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
After he didn't make the cut when Ramaphosa announced his cabinet on Wednesday night. And just as a bit of a side thought, I wonder how that goes down. Because also what we were talking about yesterday on the Burning Platform and even just before is how politics in this country, and I would go as far as saying politics in a lot of other countries, is a bit of an ecosystem. You know, it is the same types of people in that circle, whether you are all in the same political party or whether you, you know, fought and struggle wars together or you rose up the ranks together. I think once you know, okay, if this one is in, then most likely this one will follow and that one too. So you think about someone like Jeff Radebe, who's really been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And when does he get notified? I'm pretty certain he was not notified, whereas the president was reading out names and he sat there going, oh, well,
no, no,
I haven't been called.
I've heard that they all knew before.
Hmm.
That's what I heard.
And I
mean, I'm no insider, but I think there might be, you know, to keep things civil during the process that's on live TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think they let everyone know before.
Yeah, I'm certain. And there is a process. Remember last week, that's when we heard that Gigaba hadn't accepted the chance to be an MP. So yeah, I know there are processes like that.
Yeah.
But I wonder, does the president call Jeff and say like, hey, Jeff, thank you very much, but listen, it's nothing personal, but I won't be picking you this time around. That's a little awkward. Jeff Radebe was actually the longest serving minister in post-apartheid South Africa. That's interesting. In the statement, Radebe says, having first served under former President Nelson Mandela, he was aware of the confidence and trust that had been bestowed upon him as he served South Africans. In his direct quotes, he says, over the years, I've had incredible experiences and adventures, built up extraordinary collaborations, which have turned into lifelong friendships, for which I'm so thankful. In everything that I have done, I've tried to serve our country honorably, ethically, humbly, and more importantly, justly.
Jeez, well, that's a very gentlemanly exit.
Very gentlemanly, hey? With the humbly and the ethically.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's quite honourable. Jeff Radebe noted that since 1994, he had fulfilled his duty as a minister in key portfolios such as public works, public enterprises, transport, health, justice and constitutional development, energy, as well as the presidency. In closing, he said, I have full confidence that our newly inaugurated administration, led by the Honourable President Cyril Ramaphosa, will continue to guide South Africa to a more prosperous future where everyone, despite their ethnicity, culture or creed, will have equal opportunities. Now, he said he would forever be a proud ambassador for South Africa and was looking forward to continuing his efforts to further develop the African continent.
It's when you hear someone exiting that gracefully that you kind of think maybe we shouldn't have fired him. He's such a nice guy.
I wonder what happened there. But I'm sure as much as it was a conversation or a decision rather that the president took, it was a bit of a conversation between the two. As you know, the longest serving minister is someone who's been so tight.
It's a big deal.
Knit with politics in the country. And mind you, the president's brother-in-law. Wait, I didn't think about that.
That has hit you now.
I didn't think about that.
The level of awkward turtle just increased phenomenally.
Oh, I want to be there this week for Sunday lunch.
It had to have been a mutual decision in this case. My word.
Let that be a headline. The president fired his own brother-in-law. Oh, it is right, the brother-in-law. Cyril Ramaphosa is mad. Yeah, there's something to it. Yeah, it is a brother-in-law. Okay, anyway, that awkward moment aside, second story that you need to know this morning. Tens of thousands of protesters took to the streets in dozens of cities in Brazil yesterday for a second nationwide demonstration in as many weeks over the government's plans to slash education spending. So the far-right president's government has provoked outrage among students and teachers over its proposal to freeze 30% of discretionary spending for public universities in the second half of this year. This is President Bolsonaro. A suspension of postgraduate scholarships for students in science and the humanities has also fueled more anger. So these protests began in the capital Brasilia. In the morning and spread across the country to about 100 cities, and in some cases occupied entire city blocks. This is according to local reports. Now, the main message is that a 30% cut to education is absurd and makes it impossible for higher education in Brazil. This is one of the teachers who's actually protesting said. So this is quite interesting to see how this is all mapping out. But yeah, these protests are still continuing and still continuing very strong.
Sure.
Yeah. Third story that you need to know this morning. Well, just a Julian Assange update. It seems that the WikiLeaks founder is too ill to appear via a video link from a British prison in a hearing on an extradition request from the United States. This is what his lawyer said yesterday. The United States has requested the extradition of Assange, who was dragged from the Ecuadorian embassy in London on the 11th of April. He faces a total of 18 US criminal counts with decades in prison if he's convicted. But his lawyer says he's in fact far from well. The lawyer's name is Gareth Pierce.
Well, you know, often people may use lawyers or the accused themselves may use the excuse that they're not feeling well. But in this case, he didn't look well. Mm. To enter prison, you need to be 100% well to face what you're going to face, because things are just going to get worse.
Well, I'll Shabir Sheikh that. He'll be able to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
WikiLeaks said it had grave concerns about Assange's health and that he had been moved to a health ward at Britain's Belmarsh prison. His health has deteriorated in prison and he has lost a lot of weight. This is what WikiLeaks also said. Well, the next hearing on the extradition request was set for the 12th of June. We'll keep you updated as well on that as things go. It seems as well that this is just a day of following up and updating on some criminal cases and trials of note. But let's talk about the Virgin Active masturbator. Well, the 18-year-old man who was caught allegedly masturbating. Do we say allegedly at this point?
Yeah, I mean, didn't the video footage... Well, I suppose...
Okay, let's say allegedly, because, yeah.
It's a legal thing.
Or what? As one of the parody videos I've seen, we don't know technically what he was doing underneath that towel. Yeah, sure. Let's go with
allegedly. Could have been shaking up his protein shake.
Absolutely. Well, now the 18-year-old man will appear in the Stellenbosch Magistrates Court on the 13th of June after he was filmed allegedly masturbating at Virgin Active in Stellenbosch by a fellow gymgoer. Now, police spokesperson Sergeant Noloyiso Huekana said a sexual assault case was opened on the 20th of May, 4 days after the incident, and the man was arrested on Thursday. He was not placed in custody and has only received a notice to appear in court.
Mm. So, like Gareth said, it's a case of sexual assault, but who did he assault? And does an assault usually involve physical contact between two people? You could be insulted, but not assaulted.
But wouldn't, if I'm constantly sending you my nude pictures, isn't that technically sexual assault?
Especially yours.
But I'm thinking in that way. Or if
you've got a point.
Or if we live close to one another now, and I can see through your window and vice versa, and I'm always flashing myself to you.
Yeah.
Isn't that also sexual assault?
Yeah, no, you have a point.
Yeah, so I don't think it has to specifically be physical, but I get it. I'm just very interested to find out who opened the sexual assault case.
Yes, exactly. Was it the person, was it the woman he was allegedly watching or filming? Or was it the person who filmed him doing it?
Or was it the gym in general? Yeah, I wonder. The gym promptly banned him for life and said was going to pursue criminal charges after the video was posted on WhatsApp and social media. And then if you haven't seen it by now, well, I guess you're missing out on something. But in the clip, the man dressed in red gym gear seen staring at his cell phone on an exercise mat. His other hand is down his shorts. Now, a white towel in the midst of all of this is draped over part of his waist, and he continues to make what appears to be tugging movements.
Snicker.
While a woman and a man exercise in close proximity. Okay. Well, yeah, that's that. And then the final story that you need to know this morning, the five things that you absolutely need to know as you move through your day. Well, it really just inundated with all of these court stories. But now, an R. Kelly update. R. Kelly's facing 11 new counts of alleged sexual abuse charges, following the 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse he faced earlier this year.
So he's doubled his counts.
Yikes. Well, yeah. The singer was previously faced with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse when four women accused him of sexually abusing them, three of whom claimed they were underage at the time of the alleged incidences. But now, according to the Chicago Tribune, he has been hit with a further 11 new charges related to sexual assault and other sex abuse crimes, with some of the felonies allegedly carrying a potential sentence of up to 30 years in jail. That's just some of the felonies.
Yeah.
Some of the 11 carry 30 years in jail.
Yeah. So chances are he ain't going to see the light of day for a long time.
So I know everyone deserves their fair share in court. And, well, you know, everyone deserves to really have their alleged acts discussed in the eyes of the law. But, I mean, he's now facing, so 11 new counts. There's already the 10 that exist. It's 21 altogether. Just with some of the felonies, he could face up to 30 years. Can we save everyone's time and money and say, collectively, R. Kelly just going to prison for 25 years.
See, this is why you're not a judge.
Something somewhere in all of these 21 counts will count for something. So let's just save everyone's time and money and energy and just go and sit in prison for 25 years.
Yeah, that would be ideal. But I think each victim wants to have their time.
Because you know what's going to ultimately happen with all of these things, though. It will end up, if he does go right towards the end of the entire court process, it will be like, well, he's charged for 3 life sentences, and then you divide that by 3, and then, well, he'll end up serving 40 years, regardless.
Without parole. Parole,
yeah.
Only on certain charges.
And then if he has a Bill Cosby team around him, he'll somehow just always be questioning the way things are and in hopes that he'll come out earlier. So just save everyone's time and money and energy and put him in for 25 years.
In an ideal world.
Okay, let's see. So R. Kelly's attorney told media that we'll see what the charges are and we'll proceed accordingly. I know this much. It's old. They're allegations from years ago. So while Gerald Griggs, an attorney who represents the family of one of Kelly's alleged victims, added to more media saying, this further cements the fact that the victims have been true to their stories and law enforcement is finally listening. So at the time of this news report, nothing else was known of the new allegations against R. Kelly, but he was scheduled to appear in court on the new case on the 6th of June. In all of this, R. Kelly denies all charges against him. Before, remember that Gayle King interview, and he became very emotional and claimed his critics are trying to kill him. Okay. I have nothing else to add. So yeah,
that's it.
That's just it. Those are the five things that you need to know this morning. Ben isn't here, so we are not going to do sports. Leanne and I were actually chatting a little earlier saying, how much do you know about the sports that's going on currently?
Yeah.
Like the World Cup?
The Cricket World Cup. Yeah. I must admit, I only really get into a sport if I have a family member that I'm perhaps living with, or if a significant other has an amazingly dedicated interest in one sport. Because you don't want to end up not being part of half of their lives that they spend dedicated to watching that sport.
Now, what sort of like committed partner are you? Do you sit on the couch with them as well? Do you try to...
I'm not doing it for them. It's just because it's on all the time. I kind of, you know, get involved that way.
You're just late. You just have to.
Yeah. But with, I do have a tendency to be interested in sport. I just don't tune into it all the time. So if it's there and it's on, I might get into it.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, we aren't going to get into some sports because we'll be doing an absolute disservice to Ben. So rather he catches up us up on everything that's happening on Monday when he's back. But in the meantime, then, I think we owe ourselves some good news. What say you?
Yes, please.
Let's find out some good news stories happening in the world today. This, I'm sure Gareth would have really enjoyed to hear, as, you know, he dips and dives into the sneakerhead obsession of his.
Right.
And this is interesting from Adidas, actually. So they have already been making great strides to rid the world of plastic waste. But now the sneaker company says they are taking it one step further by introducing a 100% recyclable performance running shoe that is made to be remade.
Oh, right.
So the sports footwear typically include like a lot of complex material mixes and component gluing, which results in a shoe that can only be downcycled. So after almost a decade of research and development, Adidas has refined the process to create what they call the Future Craft Loop. And that's a shoe that uses only one type of material and no glue. So this just all means that everything will be able to be reusable in future. So the project is aimed at tackling the problem of plastic waste, enabling a closed loop or circular manufacturing model where the raw materials can be repurposed again and again, but not just repurposed into like a water bottle or tote or something, but into another pair of high-performance running shoes. I think this is cool.
And such an apt name, Loop.
Oh, eh? I see what you did there. Adidas is just now committed to using only recycled polyester in every one of their products and has applications where a solution exists by the year 2024. This is, I think, is good all around. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, they're just doing it to try to seem good. And my belief, and I don't know about yours, Leanne, my belief is always, whether it's genuine or not, there's still good coming out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Whether it's to make money or not, it still has to be proven to be good for the environment. And in this case, they've been working on it for 10 years. This isn't a fly-by-night, get rich quick, let's beat the other brands or do something better than them overnight. Yeah. This is something they've worked on for a decade. Imagine trying to keep something like this secret. And imagine you've come up with this idea, and you have to wait for 10 years to, with bated breath, to see if anyone else comes up with the idea before you.
Right. And also just, it shows a commitment in terms of how much you can talk the talk, but walk the walk then. Put money into it, employ people to develop this for over 10 years. Yeah, and I also say, even if a celebrity is just paid to endorse something for good, well, at least more eyes are getting to see this project or this initiative, or more ears are getting to hear about it. And I think it ultimately, as long as it just does good, then I'm all for it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that's it by Sia for this Friday morning. Very, I think, nice. Kudos to Adidas. If you feel like this is your way of making change, then so be it. And I like the fact that you're doing a lot of, you know, research into it. Let's go to some of the messages this morning. Mr. Schmangel says the sexual abuse charge, I guess this is the Virgin Active masturbator. So, mm-hmm. so he says the sexual abuse charge is stupid. He didn't hit anybody with his cock. He cocked it up, man.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to a voice note as well that we received on our WhatsApp 079-748-2090. Let's take a listen. Oh, well, sorry, Farrell. You're still around there. No, we're trying to listen to the voice note. There we go. Okay then.
Anytime.
Never you mind.
Never you mind.
Sorry, if you sent us a voice note, just resend us there because it seems to be a file error going on. But yes, a lot of new stories that we'll be getting to in a bit. A lot of some people are still just facing some issues with listening on our app. We did say that our team is on it right now. Andre says, tell them to use TuneIn. That's the TuneIn app. Okay. Well, in the meantime, though, you can just go around using our website.
Yeah.
It is cliffcentral.com, of course. And then by the time when we are back, we'll just have sorted that out. And we'll also be going into more of the news stories of the day, some funny things that you need to know this morning. But to make you feel a little better just after such a heavy day that was yesterday and also Wednesday evening with the new cabinet announcement, it's no politics Friday. So you can take a deep breath in and a deep breath out on that one. So Leanne and I will be back. We have you covered this morning. And George Meany also joining us in a bit with the Auto Central Power Pod. So all of this and a lot more coming up this morning on the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.